Welcome to the Financial Flows Podcast, hosted by Greg and Antonio, who possess over 25 years of combined corporate America's experience and a decade plus of entrepreneurship.
Hey, welcome back to the Financial Flows Pod, man, the show where we talk about all things wins and losses. We talk about what's going on in real life. We talk about real experiences, learnings, lessons, and everything that is happening to help you help us help you. You know what I'm saying? So we back. It's another day. It's another beautiful opportunity to connect and to spend this time leaning into a phenomenal, controversial, polarizing like topic that I think a lot of listeners can relate to. But before we do that, you already know what it is. I'm going to check in with my host here, right? Not my co-host, my host, Antonio. See what's going on, guy. He's had a lot of activity going in the last 30 days. So I just want to make sure that that mental is in a state of zen. What's up,
bro? You see me over here laughing, man. I was trying not to get it on the microphone, bro. You came in. Normally, you come in hot, you know, with the not the loud voice, but the excited voice. That boy came in with the FM 98 smooth jazz voice.
But yeah, you heard me. Hey, man, you know. If you know, you know.
Yeah. Everything is good, man. I got my mojo back, bro. Like, I had fell off maybe Let me restate that. I kind of got lazy the last year, maybe year and a half with the real estate sales. I kind of got complacent. And I was just, you know, turning business down and stuff. But I don't know what it is, man. Maybe the last week or so, I just got that mojo back. I'm hustling again. I'm acting as if I'm broke and it's paying off. I got one under contract for $3.5 million right now. So I'm looking forward to getting that one closed, obviously. But I'm hustling, bro. Like, business is picking up 12 listings right now. Never had 12 listings in my life at one point in time. So
say that again?
12 listings. I have personally 12 listings. So I'm just trying to get them sold. I'm out there marketing them, trying to get them sold. I just got that mojo back. I got that hustle again, that grind. I'm grinding like I'm broke. And I'm tired as a result, too. You saw how I came on with that energy coming in here. But I'm gonna make it work, though, man. What about you? I saw you just had a birthday. You went to L.A., I believe it was. What was up with that? Tell me more, bro.
It's just life, man. Like, you know, I'm not on here to I ain't about the highlight reels. I think if nothing else, we talked about this on a couple different episodes. And I think one of the negative parts about our culture right now and the culture at large is we're getting things misconstrued between helping inspire other people versus creating a narrative that life is one-sided. Right. And that's what highlights real mean. You talking about somebody like, bro, let's keep it 100 right quick. I come from a very economically challenged environment when we were younger. Right. I attended public schools. I didn't start playing sports till I was a junior in high school. Right. And that's going to be a segue, sports segue, a junior in high school. And from there, I had a few scholarship opportunities. And here's what I want to say about that. One of the biggest ways that people were able to garner opportunities to do more was through highlight reels. And it wasn't until a while I ran into a coach and he's like, man, I don't even care for highlight reels because I don't want to see everything a player does great all at once. I want to be able to see games, right? Where they make some plays and they give up some plays, where they get beat, where they struggle, where they have to shake back. I want to be able to see that. And it really stuck with me. And so if I take that to what we're talking about right now in this instance, man, I wanted to celebrate life. Not because everything is worth celebrating, but because life itself is a gift. That was the big thing for me. So it was really cool, man, to be around a lot of different people who support you, believe in you, encourage you, challenge you, and connect and build. And I'm always looking to create new opportunities to provide value, to serve others, and have that same in exchange. So that's what the last weekend was about, man. I feel very blessed to be in a position to experience that. And I'm looking forward to the new year for me as of April 20th, aka my birthday. So I'm looking towards that as a new year as well with a reinvigorated mindset, my guy.
Yep, I love it. I love to hear that, man. Love to hear that. You almost went into the topic today. So I'm gonna turn it over to you, man. You tell
me. That was intentional, man. That was intentional. There's this thing, especially amongst you know, the modern era with so much accessibility to so many different things. Today in this episode, we are diving into the hot topic, youth sports, the cost, the investment, and the ROI? Is it worth it? Is it not? Do you believe in it? Do you support it? What does that look like? And that's what this topic is about today. So I want to kick that off just talking about this dynamic, man. Youth sports has become extremely, extremely polarized. And it's front and center, you know, with the age of social media and the internet. You literally have child stars playing sports that YouTube accounts and these Instagram accounts, right? And all of the things. So it's a massive new little industry. And especially if you start to think about marketing and branding and the ability to partner, it's massive. So I'm really excited about that because it gives the youth an opportunity to lean into their gifts. But man, before you can get to that point, there's this reality that you got to pay to play. And so that's what we want to unpack today. The cost involved, is it worth the cost? What do you benefit from it? All of those different things. So, man, I want to start off by just asking you, what is your thought on the current state of youth sports? You know, what you have to do, this exposure thing, how serious it's taken, all of that. What do you think, man?
Well, I'll say it is a booming industry for sure. You can watch TV nowadays on ESPN and they're showing like cheerleading meets. I don't know what the best you call it, but baseball, little league baseball games, like you name it, it's on TV these days. You mentioned the opportunity to get sponsorships and social media, NIL. It's, man, it's big. It's blowing up. It's only going to get bigger, in my opinion. But my thoughts on it. So let me give you my perspective. First of all, I have a 3-year-old son and a 5-year-old son. So I have young kids. My 5-year-old, he plays baseball right now. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I could commit all of that time and money it takes to dive into that. For example, I have a friend. His daughter is big into gymnastics. Man, he's in Orlando like once every month, if not once, well, maybe once every other month. But he's traveling all the time with these different meets and practices. And he's always at the practices at nighttime. It just takes up a lot of his time. And I don't want to be selfish, but I still got to live. Like, I still want a life as well. So I don't know if I'll be willing to commit at this point in time, when my son is 5, if I'd be willing to give all that time, money, energy into something like that, because I don't know if he'll get the ROI or if I'll get the ROI, you know, with the time invested, the money invested. And when it comes to college, I know we'll get to high school, college, continue to play sports. So I'll probably just wait to hold that in, you know, until later. I'll hold that one.
Okay. Well, listen, you just went into a few different areas at once. I wanted to stay segmented, but of course, you know, you do what you do. You boom, 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 boom. So now you're talking about the travel component and the time. We didn't get to that part yet, man. I just simply asked you, hey, what's your high-level thought? You won't get it all to the details, right? But I want to be combative today. I got that antagonistic vibe of wanting to see the other side. So you said, yeah. Hey, I'm going to wait till later. I reverse engineer from there. Hey, wait till later. What about if you wait till later? What's all the development you potentially missed in your child? You wait till later. What about the competitive landscape and a competitive edge where another child may have experienced years worth of travel, you know, baseball, years worth of seeing pitches, years worth of training, years worth of building their craft. So when they age for age, grade for grade, it seems like it's equal on paper.
Yeah, it's not. And that's where the bigger dynamic comes into play, because now I'm curious to see, hey, do you have that same thought process when your son faces, you know, Derek, and Derek and your son are now both in, say, the 9th grade. But Derek has been learning and crafting the skill set since he was 5, 6, or 7. And so now when it's time to compete against Derek, it's a total different ball game, right? Pun intended. What's your thoughts there? Just on that scope, because that's one of the things that's a driving force for a lot of parents, because they're looking more strategic, big picture, knowing that, hey, down the line, my child may want to play and I don't want them to be behind. So they're starting to look at sports in the same way that you may look at academics and say, hey, if there's opportunities and programs or tutors or whatever it takes to be the best version of self for child, that's what I want to support. So what about that part? What do you say to that?
I would say it depends on the child and do they really love the game, whatever that game is. Because there's a kid on his team right now who it seems like his father is pushing him, and he doesn't look happy at all. I don't want to be that guy. He doesn't look happy at all. His father's like on top of him. I'm like, bro, he 5. Like, chill out, you know? So As far as the competitive aspect, yeah, it builds something in them, you know, going competing all the time, you're developing those skills, the teamwork, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. But I just, it depends on the kid. If in my particular case, my son's, he does it for fun, but he don't look like that's something he wants to do forever. And he could change his mind later. But as of
Right.
right now, I'm just not willing to commit all of my time because I want to be a little selfish here. Because if you invest in this and you go, you know, 100% all in, you're gonna spend a lot of your time traveling, spending money, you know, a lot of your evenings, weekends. So I got a life to live as well. So I gotta be a little selfish here.
Okay. That's interesting. I think a couple of things I want to lean into. We talked about just the landscape, but when we look at this, what are some of the primary costs associated with youth sports? Is one of the big questions for anybody that's listening that may be, you know, seemingly unaware, because this is a topic that I think people are familiar with as far as exposure to seeing or hearing, but maybe not the definitive of what that really looks like. So I'll unpack some of that. When you look at youth sports and how it can contribute to you building and then thriving into adulthood, it's definitely a powerful opportunity for many children to develop healthy habits, to grow confidence, to build functioning skills and sharpen cognitive skills and establish a sense of community and belonging. I think those things are phenomenal. Unfortunately, in most instances, you know, we like to talk about the economic landscape, you know, during our time on this show. And economically, if we're saying that inflation is higher than it's ever been, if we're saying that the labor market is very tricky, if we're saying that cost of living is increasing, then it's definitely having an impact into these other areas that are largely known as being discretionary, right? Extracurricular. That means it's not necessary. So when you say, "Oh, I want to play X, Y, or Z," that is not a necessity. So that's
Right.
supposed to come from additional funds. So if you put all those things together, unfortunately, the cost of youth sports can be a major obstacle for families, especially, this is the other part, if more than one child wants to participate, right? So, in fact, statistically, nearly 60% of families say youth sports are a financial strain. Unpack that, right? 60% of families say that youth sports are a financial strain. And again, if you look at that with multiple kids, it can get very, very interesting. So let's just look at some of this, right, in terms of the cost that goes into sports. I also have this broken down. The average cost of each child in a sport. And we're going to start with the highest. What do you think the highest sport cost is annually for a child to participate in?
I would say maybe baseball, because
Okay,
there's
good.
more games. I don't know.
A good swing. But
Good.
unfortunately, it's a swing and a miss. It's a swing and a miss. Man. So now watch this. I want you to think a little bit more intently in your economic mindset when you break down the things you know to be true around equity, around you're a realtor. You selling different zip codes, you selling different cities, right? And you understand neighborhoods, and usually there's trend. Okay. And I'm gonna ask this again. Take another stab. What do you think might be one of the more costly sports?
And I don't know where you're going with this football. What? Talk to me.
Me ask you something. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing? How many skiing and snowboarding kids do you know?
None.
How many kids you know play hockey?
Oh, so that would be the cost? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, none. I don't know
No,
any.
no, 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 no. Let's talk about it. You say, where are we going? How many kids you know? How many individuals you know that's taking trips to Aspen, Colorado, Utah?
None.
Oh,
None.
okay. Interesting. The average cost to go on a ski trip. You think that's anything synonymous with like going to Destin?
Probably a
Absolutely
little
not.
more expensive.
A little? No way, Jose. Right? You talked about gymnastics. That's a very expensive sport as well. And the goal here is to really do multiple things at once, to open eyes around what's truly the cost associated. But we're also going to unpack some of the contributing factors. I never like speaking about data in a vacuum, meaning, hey, just singular mindset, talk about a number. I feel like every single number has a representation that goes way beyond what you can see at the surface. So the most expensive sport is hockey at $2,583 average cost per year. That is broken down into $634 for registration, $389 for equipment. Let me tell you something. That is false. My two youngest sons played hockey. It is not average of $389 for equipment. You might spend that on skates, depending on the you might spend that on skates, depending on the level of skates you buy. You literally could spend that on skates. Okay. Next, we're looking at lessons, which is basically a part of learning throughout the journey. It's $389. They have travel in there at $829. And then you add these different costs up, you get about $2,583. The next highest or costliest sport is skiing / snowboarding, which comes in at $2,249. Right? Equipment there is $1,174. Registration about $170. And then lessons $430 and some other things like camps about $285. And as you continue to cascade down, you have field hockey next, gymnastics, lacrosse, tennis, bicycling, and golf. Now I'm gonna read these again. Ice hockey, skiing, snowboarding, field hockey, gymnastics, lacrosse, tennis, bicycling, and golf. I'm gonna stop right there. Tell me what comes to mind again when you hear that list.
We're not playing that.
I'm sorry?
We're not playing those sports in the large scale.
Who's we?
Black people. It's not really down here, down south. You don't see those sports. I mean, you may see golf, but ice hockey, all that other stuff, gymnastics. You know, well, gymnastics maybe, but the hockey, the snowboarding, we don't have snow, so of course not. And I guess you had your kids in hockey when you were in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And the thing that you mentioned, now you go into another layer. You're talking about demographics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's certain demographics that will allow you to participate in some of this, right? And then if you talk about from an affluent space, there's certain concepts of where you live and the environment that you're in gives you access to certain things, demographically, geographically, but also financially based on quality of life, right? There's some things that aren't available to your point in certain places. They're just not, because the community or the location may not deem it prevalent. So there's so many different layers, but I want to get back to the cost part as we're talking through this, you know, pivoting from the equity. The ironic thing is the cheapest things on a list, track and field at $191 a year. And then flag football, then skateboarding, then you have basketball at $427. I mean, I don't know about that one, depends on the league you're in, but $427. You have tackle football at $485, soccer's $537, and baseball shows up at $660. I'm going to tell you, I don't know about that one too, because, man, when I bought baseball equipment for my son, I was like, oh, my goodness. So that is the national averages, though, to participate, okay? And let's talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about some of the pros. Let's talk about the benefits. You know, you mentioned, hey, dad out there pushing his kid too hard. Guy don't even look like they want to do it. You definitely want to know if your kid wants to play. Now, here's one would be controversial. So that everybody could DM me, text me, you know, call me. I'll do all the things. I'm fine. My email's open. But I do think that there's a certain component of introducing your child to sports, even if it may be involuntarily or non-voluntarily, and getting them exposed, so that they can learn what it is they like or don't like. And then my job as a parent is I want to unpack what you like and what you don't like and why. And I want to make sure that if it's something character oriented that's developmental, that I lean into that space. And if it's not, and it's truly just preference, and we can talk through that it's not about fear or it's not about inadequacy and those things, then totally cool. You don't need to love everything. But I think sports does a phenomenal job of exposing a child to some things about themselves and about others / the world. And so through sports, children can definitely maintain a healthy body weight. We talk about living in a day and age where obesity is so prevalent, right? Fitness is so important and it doesn't happen. I think it gives them the opportunity to grow confidence through repetition. Also helps them discover goals and passions. You know, kids get together and they want to win a championship or they want to win some games. That's good, man. That's healthy for being aspirational, right? And then putting together a mindset that says, hey, eventually we want to get to this place. And then I would also say it helps offset some of that depression and anxiety from sitting still, not doing things. And then lastly, you get to build teamwork skills as well as some cognitive skills around how you show up for self and for others. And that's just a couple of things that come to mind when we talk about the investment tied to sport, but more so the benefits that I see with youth sports. So
what's the only other one I would, the only other one I want to throw in there is, like, if my kids had a choice, they would sit inside and play on those tablets all day. So by putting them in a sport, like any sport, honestly, it gets them out of the house. So that will be the biggest benefit right now in my particular household, because they will really sit on the computer all day, the tablet all day, if they had the opportunity to do so.
Right. And that's why I said there's a certain dynamic, and they could, you know, you guys could come for me, I'm all good, but about there's a certain level of introducing, or dare I say forcing, non-voluntary. Yeah. You know why? Because there is a point in time where if you allow children to choose only the things that they want, that's like saying, hey, whatever you want to eat for dinner. And they go, great, I want to eat ice cream, cake, and cookies. And you go, okay, because that's what they're engaged. It makes them happy. Is that responsible? No. Mm-hmm. Right? And I know that this can, again, be a little bit controversial, but I have had these conversations. And I said, hey, the reason why is not so that you can try to go relive my legacy, if I say football, right? And that's mm-hmm. a whole other thing in and of itself. But the reason being is I can tell you what football did to me as a person. Right. It exposed me to the inner voice in my head that when things were really complex, it is hard to not want to quit physically and mentally. Right. Having to train for football in the heat did something to that inner complex that says you have to want it as bad as the other person, because if they want it badder than you, it says a lot about what you are showing up as, who you are showing up as, because a lot of times it's not just about skill. Skill is a natural thing that, you know, you don't train to be 6'10", right? Like you don't train that. You know, there's certain things that are gifts that are given to you, but there's a lot of things that you can curate, especially in this day and age with so much access to training and information. The reason I say that way is because you come to realize playing sports, even at a young age, you can see the people who are competitive and engaged and passionate, and those who are just going through the motions. You can see the difference between the kids who are showing up and wanting to be the best version of themselves and those who aren't. And it's not about comparison, it's about realization. Because unfortunately, we have this narrative that we're teaching in life that wants to make it seem like everything is okay. That's not true. We want to make it seem as though all things are created equal. They're not. And the reality is the individuals, you just said, rewind back. You said, man, I'm exhausted because I'm putting so much more on my plate because I'm really in that mindset again of grinding like I'm hungry. That's a choice, right?
Yep.
So in the industry, what you're basically saying is, hey, I'm going to take it upon myself to put in the work so that I can dominate in this space, which means more than likely, let's just be real. The more you win in that space as a broker, as an agent, the more business you taking away from somebody. True or false?
That's true.
Okay. So it's a competition. Right? And so this is the things that happens in youth sports coming up, is you start to instill some of those realities so that people don't grow up thinking everybody get a participation trophy. No, it's no participation trophy if I'm trying to get the same client that Antonio trying to get and they go with him. I don't get no benefit of participating. So that's some of the things that I also believe youth sports teaches, which is critical. So now let's get down to some of the other pieces you mentioned that I think is really, really important to touch upon. Hey, anybody listening and you're thinking about cost, we're going to get into some topics, some resources, right? There's 501(c)s, there's scholarship funds, there's grants, there's different access, there's free community programs to get kids involved in sports. The numbers that I gave was just the national average of cost. But there's some resources you can use. But I want to backtrack for a minute. Again, a lot of how we see life is usually through lived experiences. And so I'm not saying this for it to be a show all about where you come from and all of those things, but it is relevant. Usually, crime aligns or follows poverty. Usually. And one thing that was very obvious when we were younger, and I think it's still real today, sports has always been a great outlet to get kids out of the streets and out of trouble. Now, I'm not saying it worked all the time. I'm not saying it's a one size fits all. That's not what I'm saying. But if you listen, I can tell you straight up, hey, this is real life. I have multiple teammates, multiple guys I called friends that I played high school football with that were really talented, literally, that couldn't stay out the streets. And I remember when I came into contact with some of these guys, they had been playing football since 5, 6 years old, right? And I remember us having high school football practice at times, and this is me keeping it super raw, having high school football practice and having to go pick up some of my teammates from the project because you already know what they was on, just to get them out and like, hey, come on, bro. Now, why am I saying that? Because somebody might be listening thinking, well, they were still doing X, Y, or Z. Now, this is what you don't understand. The only thing that would allow them to come out of that mindset and say, yeah, I'm tripping for a minute, for a day, for a week, for a season, for a year was sports.
Yeah.
And so dare I say, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, sports saved the lives of many of my teammates during that time period when we were all in high school. So there's huge benefits to the youth who are at risk being able to have access to sports, especially when a lot of these kids, right? How many times you've seen a basketball player, a football player, or someone else tell you the place in which they came from, where they're like, hey, I grew up in this environment. This was the only escape that I had. My mom struggled to work multiple jobs, this, and this, but she provided a way for me to be able to do these things. And as a result, I wanted to show her my respect and my gratitude so that I got, so now I'm in this place where, hey, mom, thank you. Because I don't know where I would have been. That part.
I was going to bring that up. That's a great point. I was going to bring that up. You're right. You see that a lot, a whole lot, a whole lot. So as far as the cons, so what are the cons you was going to say? Because I heard you mention costs. What else you had? Because I want to see if you're going to touch on the one that I want to touch on.
Yeah, so there's definitely cost. And, you know, I'm a two sides of the coin guy, depending on what it is in most instances. I like to always at least be open-minded to the objections on other sides of things. And in this regard, I will tell you probably 4 or 5 years ago, one of the things that started to really rub me the wrong way as a former professional athlete is this mindset to make it like every kid is going to be a professional, or every kid, you know, has to be this professional, coming from the parent truly trying to here we go again, controversial, trying to will that through them. Now, do I think there's a space and place? Absolutely. You're going to say Tiger Woods' father. You're going to say Serena Williams' father. Totally get it. The Venus and Serena. Don't want to leave anybody out. Shout out to Serena and Venus. Their dad. You know, we can go down a list with how parents play a pivotal role, which is why I say it is important to introduce, especially non-voluntarily sometimes, and even think about the toughness. Agree with some stuff, disagree with some others. I know it's not sport, but even music, when you talk about a parent leaning in to expose a child. How many of the old school music groups became popular or famous because a parent refused to not allow them to not live up to their potential? Many of them. Yeah. Right? And you bring that back to sports. I think it's relevant there to a certain extent. However, you can make a child feel inadequate. You can make a child feel like their identity is only tied to what it is they're doing. You can lead them to seeking only external validation for trophies, rewards, and attaboys through sports if you're not careful. And there's also this dynamic where you can rob the child out of the child, trying to lead them into a way where you treat these sports as almost it's a profession. Listen, man, to your point about time, that is a real thing. There's a time investment that is not even showing up financially in these reports. That is massive. right? I'll tell you one area where I see time show up like almost nowhere. Dance, cheer, gymnastics, that space. The amount of time and a trip and a travel, and I'm like, oh, this is intense.
That was going to be my kind. That's what I want to touch on, time.
That's a huge one, brother.
Yeah, that's bigger than cost. That's bigger than expense, in my opinion, because you could get money back. That time gone.
You can't. Now, watch this, because again, man, this is all about both sides of coin and the fluidity of the conversation so that it doesn't seem rigid. I'd also challenge that. Because watch this. I will tell you, you know, you and I, this now we are at a point to where it's almost like we're just having a phone conversation right now.
Yeah.
Brother, you have worked extremely hard. I've worked extremely hard. We've challenged each other on working even harder, being even greater, all the things. We've also had to come back and challenge each other on what? Hey, work-life balance, mm-hmm. family time, and those things. Here's what I will tell you. As challenging as it was for me to make after-school practices and bringing my kids to such and such and, you know, traveling to different places and 6 a.m. hockey practices and all of these things and track meets over the years, as I start to look at the culmination of that, I would not trade not a single minute of it, because the opportunities that I got to be a part of those moments with my kids where I'm able to see them, I'll just say hockey, I'm able to see my kids start off where they can't stand up for 10 seconds and go through that journey with them of discouragement, to go through that journey of frustration, to go through that, I want to quit, this is not for me, and me to say, we don't do that. Me to say, you're just learning. Don't compare yourself to those other kids who've been out here 2 and 3 years. I don't want you to see yourself as inadequate because you didn't put the work in. I don't want you to think that you're equal because you showed up at the same time on the same day. There's stuff that has already happened that you cannot see. I'm here intentionally positioning you to be exposed to something that feels uncomfortable. I want to build your character.
Yeah.
Where would I be if I was absentee? You know what that turns into? A child that says, hey, this is not working out. I quit. I don't like it. Children usually don't like things that they're not good at. So it's our job to help build them up. And then you can tell me, once you feel like you've maxed out your effort, maxed out your intensity, and you're performing at the highest level you can, if you say you still don't want it, cool. Because I know it's not about a lack of confidence, it's not about a lack of work ethic, or none of those things. But I'm sharing that from a place to say, even when time can seem like a con, you are right. You can never get time back. But you're also right. You can never get that time back, especially if you missed out.
So here's what I'm saying. I think I have a lot of things going through my head right now. I'm trying to see the best way to present it. So this is what I don't like is those parents that push things on their kids. Like maybe they play football and they want their kid to play football and be better than them, whatever. And they pushing it on them, hammering it down. And like, I would never be that parent. So I'm going to be like you, how you took the approach. I'm just going to expose you to it. You show interest, I'm going to push you a little bit. I'm not going to be all over you. Let's talk about after elementary, high school, whatever. Like if you look at the statistics, I have it right here, actually. It says percentage yep. of kids moving from high school to college to play sports is 6% of all kids that play in high school go to college to play it. 6%. This from the NCAA. The percentage moving from the NCAA to professional is 2%. That's all sports. So it's like these people, they force this stuff on their kids because they want them to be like them or better than them. And the stats are against you. You know, if you're trying to make it to the big leagues, that's why I'm not going to push sports on my kids. I'm going to let them do it if they want to do it. But I'm focusing on academics. There's a way bigger percentage of you getting the academic scholarship as opposed to an athletic scholarship. So I like numbers, as you mentioned before. I'll rather go that route. You know, learn, get some academic scholarships. If you want to play sports, that's fine. But we need to put academics first and foremost before anything.
I for sure agree with that. I think that's a phenomenal point. And one that I, as you mentioned, I've thought about, we've talked about offline and all of the things, you know, because people will ask you like, man, your kid's playing. And I'll tell you, there's been moments in time where I felt weird a while ago, right before like fully embracing that truth, where I felt weird being like, no, my son's not, or none of my sons, you're going to see them or know them from all these phenomenal things they're doing in football. Because I've wanted to be very hesitant to position them that way. For my personal reason, okay? One, I didn't think I was mature enough for my kids to be playing football at a young age. That's me personally. I didn't feel like. because I know too much of that exposure to the game and how I would want to be with them. And I didn't want to lose the dadism, right? So that was one part.
Yeah.
The other part is me understanding in all sports, but especially football, but I'll say in all sports in general, I have a philosophy. Again, you can debate it. I have a philosophy that says the sooner you start to play, and then the longer you decide to play, the easier it is to plateau or burn out. Right? Like, there's a burnout involved with this longevity of playing sports. And ironically, having been exposed to a lot of people in the professional sports realm, of course, you got people that's like, man, I've been playing since I was a little kid, picked up a ball at 4 years old, five, you know, et cetera. And I think most people think that that's like 80% of all of the professional athletes. And I tell you, that is not the case. The reality is there's far more individuals who didn't start playing sports until high school. There's even some that started playing in college, very rare. But most middle school, high school is when most individuals started playing sports that made it to the professional space. So this narrative like, oh, I got to put a ball in their hand once they're three. Hey, listen, I don't think it's negative in a sense of you increasing the probability of them being the best that they can be. I also don't think that it's absolutely necessary or required.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, one of the costs of sports that's not even mentioned here, they call it, they have camps, but the training, because the training, mm-hmm. Woo! Because again, I want my kid to be the best and your kid want to be good too. So what personal trainer can I get them in? Oh man, that's a whole nother game and a whole nother bag.
Yeah. I feel like when people do that, like invest so much in their kid, then they go through extremes. Like I know, you know, I'm in real estate. So some of the commits, when they commit here, they come here for college, then their parents move here too. That's crazy to me. Like they all the way committed. Like asking, you know, for rentals and rental properties to rent to be near their son while they're playing football at LSU. Like that's, I don't know. I hope I never contradict my words right now and turn out to be that guy. But as of right now, man, I just can't do something like that. It's not in me.
I guess it's perspective, right? And that's what I love about not being rigid. So I'll take the other side of the coin. I'll say, you know, hypothetically, let's say my youngest son, he's seven. Let's say in 11, 12 years, he's on full scholarship and, and I'm going to say something like USC, shout out to Cali. I just left, you know, SoCal. I'm going to say something like USC. And there is a part of me, right, having known what I've known. And let's say he's at USC and he's on a football scholarship. And his personal aspirations is to play professional football. Well, then guess what? Bar none, my goal is at that point in life to ensure that it's truly family first, which has always been the goal. But let's be real, it's challenging sometimes when you're trying to build comfort for your family. That's just organic. It's truly family first. And then everything else, secondary, third, fourth, fifth, which means if I had an opportunity to position myself for that time period in which he's in college and move to SoCal and rent something or whatever, you know, and we're looking at that from a family dynamic, I would absolutely be open to that. Because again, I can't replace being there like that. And I've seen that prevalent in the community that I have access to, right? To mentor, to support. You know what? Perfect example. And I know it's very unique, but man, the word shout out, like that's not it. That phrase, pay homage, I don't think that phrase does it justice. I am genuinely, sincerely moved at my core to see what Deion Sanders is doing with his son. That is special. And I think sometimes people are looking at the commercialization of it and not really understanding how special he is role modeling something to the Black community. He is not missing a single moment with his sons as it pertains to this pivotal stage of young adulthood. But think about how much stuff we thought we knew when we were 18, 19, 20, 21. And you have a perfect mentor, again, not just to do dad, but to go sports to that, coach to that, to coach you through how, hey, as a father, I see this in you that's showing up on the field and I want to make sure. All of that, man, that is major. So that's what also comes to mind about the opportunity to be a part of that journey.
See, I didn't think about it from that perspective. That's great, great observation, great perspective. And I feel you now. What I was talking about was the parents who ride the coattails of the player or the kid. Like they feel like the kid is that good. Like they're getting all this recognition at the in their local town. and they about to go off to college, I got to go with them because I'm using that. You know, I feed off that. That's what I need. You know, I got to be around my son. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I see where you're going. What you're talking about is that parent that is looking at the child as the token, that parent that is that their identity is wrapped into the identity of the child playing sports, right? 100. That parent that's banking on this as the investment, that you're talking about that parent.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah, that's a tough one. And that's where I was 4 or 5 years ago when I started to see all of a sudden all of these parents that be screaming on the sidelines at these youth games and like mad and up in arms. Like, bro, it's a game. What, like, these are kids. What's up?
I'm laughing because that's how I was the first 2 weeks of baseball, dog. I was all in. And I was like, hold up, what am I doing? Like, he's five. Like, calm down. I was that guy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whoa. And there's a physical wear and tear that I just want to reiterate. When you think about sports, that is still a real thing. I can't tell you how many children, torn ACLs, right, torn Achilles, shoulder separations, those things. Somebody who's experienced some of that is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
And that can have a psychological impact on children as well. So, man, I love some of these things that we are leaning into and talking through. So I think we talked a little bit about the ROIs. You talked about parental pressure. We talked about the benefits, the pros and cons, some of the accessibility and resources. And as we wrap up, do you think all things considered, right? All things considered, do you think the juice is worth the squeeze?
When we say juice, what you talking about specifically? Like pushing your kids, putting them in young, pushing them?
Hey man, I say all things. So starting them at an early age or earlier age, being okay or paying the cost, making the investment in time, you know, having to travel, like whatever that looks like, because we understand it is a dynamic space. It is going to cost you in resources, time, money, you know, emotions, all of that stuff. Do you think if you had to go hard, yes, hard, no, I'm not letting them off the hook, y'all. You got to go hard, yes, hard, no. Is it worth it?
Yes, I think it's worth it if they're passionate about it and it's something that they want at the end of the day. But they have to be 100% committed for me to be 100% committed. Meaning they love what they're doing and they can see a career out of this, then I'm going all in, I'm backing my kid. But if they're half-assing it, it's something that, yeah, I'm interested sometimes, sometimes not so much, then I'm not going to put out all of the money and all of the time to get, you know, push them in that direction. So yeah, I'm answering the question, but I'm straddling the fence at the same time.
All right, so I'll wrap it up with my thought, right? Of course, it's worth it for me. I do believe that there's a return on an investment that can go beyond money, because I know as a man, I literally can get choked up in this space. I know as an individual who experienced some pretty challenging things at different points of my life, I know the benefit of having sport. And it just opens you up so much. Watch this. I know the benefit of having a coach. Because if it wasn't for my high school coach challenging me to come back my senior year versus my junior year, I'd have never had the opportunities that I had in life in that same regard, because it was ordained to happen that way. Because I was so not even into sports like that I played that one season. And I was more focused on other things I didn't want to play. And he challenged me. Aha, right? Because he saw something in me. Aha. And he wanted to help develop and curate that so that I can be the best version of myself. He didn't get anything from that. That was a me thing. So that's a huge benefit. The character development that comes with sports. And as I mentioned, I'm only speaking from personal experience to say that opened the door for me to get a free education. And then that opened the door for me to learn more about myself, learn more about others and grow and to build skill set, knowledge and acumen. And then that opened the door to play professionally. But one of the biggest things that helps me and has helped me in the career space, non-athletics, is the athletics background. Knowing what it means to be a good teammate, knowing what it means to be competitive, knowing what it means to be disciplined, right? To work hard, to be relentless. All of those things were built through sports. So if you ask me, I will always say it's worth the exposure to help someone see and be the best version. And now when you have the NIL plays and these things, I look at it not as a get rich quick, not as a like pimp your child out and all of those things, whatever narrative you want to create. I look at it as a business strategic roadmap that you can curate if your kid is invested, committed, passionate, talented, you know, and thriving in the space. Well, then, yeah, you want to take advantage the same way you would take advantage of any other opportunity if your kid was a 16, 17-year-old entrepreneur with a phenomenal idea.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, right? You wouldn't say, no, I'm not going to sell this idea to said company and allow them to have equity because he's 16 and I don't want to. No. So it's the same thing to me in sports. So I'm for it, brother.
I knew you would say that because you're part of the 2%. You're supposed to be for it. The 2% that made it. You know what I'm saying? So, but we appreciate y'all for listening. I know this episode is a little bit longer than usual, but we were just talking, really. It was really a conversation, just talking, and y'all just get to hear it. So please share. Please continue to follow the page. Send us any DMs, any requests, any questions. Send it over. We'll answer it. We appreciate y'all. We'll talk to y'all next week. Peace.